Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 579th edition of SDG. And the title of this message today is 2022 Endgame Update Number 43. And a bit later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into being strong. Strong in the Lord, that is. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can be both strong and fully aware in these evil times, but not worried, and in fact, joyful. But the bottom line, as always, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. Why? Because we're just God's people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And remember how it all got started as we dive deeper and deeper into new 9/11 events that are unfolding as if on steroids in slow motion. It all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started. Before we get into the COVID update, with something from a past episode. Now, just last week, we learned that after hawking the COVID jab on their own trained pony, Al Roker, who's now in the hospital with blood clots, and he's a nice guy, folks, but he's not very wise, and he certainly doesn't critically think. So let's all pray for Al Roker and his recovery from the blood clots that he now has. So about a year after they used him as a show pony on their morning show, NBC announces that there's a link between the jabs and myocarditis. Well, as Gomer would say, Shazam, huh? But anyways, get this stage set, so to speak, for the update I want to give you. Let's listen to that clip again from last week. I don't know about the whole thing, but let's just refresh ourselves with what this was all about. Here's NBC in a recent article acknowledging that myocarditis is now linked to the COVID death jab.
NBC acknowledges myocarditis link to COVID-19 vaccines after sudden deaths of young adults. LifeSite News, in a sign of a potential shift in the mainstream media's coverage of the issue, NBC News has published a report acknowledging a possible link between COVID-19 vaccines and myocarditis. NBC's November 12th report opens with an anecdote about Detroit resident Devian Miller, who at age 22 passed out at his home and was later hospitalized and diagnosed with myocarditis and pericarditis 1 week after receiving his first dose of Pfizer's mRNA-based COVID shot and was subsequently advised by doctors not to receive his second. Myocarditis is a condition that has long been linked to a number of viral infections, including influenza, Coxsackie viruses, as well as COVID, the report says. It has also been observed as an infrequent but worrisome side effect of the mRNA COVID vaccines. It then goes on to say there have been around 1,000 reports of vaccine-related myocarditis or pericarditis in children under age 18, primarily young males, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The U.S. government's Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, gives a much higher number for overall myocarditis and pericarditis cases, 53,836 as of November 4th. An April study out of Israel indicates that COVID infection alone cannot account for such cases, despite claims to the contrary. Reports submitted to viewers about possible cases are not yet confirmed, as anyone can submit a report, but CDC researchers have acknowledged high verification rate of reports of myocarditis to viewers after mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccination, leading to the conclusion.
That's a good place to stop. They acknowledge that there's a high incident rate on the VAERS reports. So COVID jab with their own same pony, like I said, Al Roker, and then issuing this report, they issue another report. And on the NBCNews.com website, you can look it up, myocarditis after COVID vaccine, research on long-term effects underway. Can you believe this, folks? This was published, well, actually, it was a week and a half ago, November 12th. It's about almost 2 weeks ago. Here's how it opens. And, I mean, this is stranger than fiction, folks. Here's how it opens. Both Pfizer and Moderna are launching clinical trials to track health issues. And here's the real clincher. If any, in the years following a diagnosis of vaccine-associated heart problems in teens and young adults. That's right, Paul, but in reality, it's just too little too late, in my humble opinion. But hold on, it even gets worse. So in this article, NBC claims things like, and here's a quote, and this is the same guy that they had in the other article. That's their poster child, 22-year-old LaVon Miller, gab victim, featured in this propaganda gaslighting piece. And I quote, and this is right out of their article, and this is what makes it so crazy. This is referring to LaVon, is one of a very small group of people in the United States who have experienced myocarditis following vaccination with the Pfizer-BioNTech or the Moderna COVID vaccines based on mRNA technology. Myocarditis is a condition that has long been linked to a number of viral infections, including influenza, Coxsackie virus, as well as COVID. It has also been observed as an infrequent but worrisome side effect of the mRNA COVID vaccines. Now, I end quote comments, folks. Okay, certainly it is possible that viral-induced myocarditis is a possibility. What's the probability with these other viral infections? Very low to non-existent. Not the case with COVID or the death jab. And then this propaganda gaslighting piece continues. Of the hundreds of millions of COVID vaccine doses given in the United States since 2020, there have been around 1,000 reports of vaccine-related myocarditis or pericarditis. Now, these are just two different forms of essentially the same heart condition that is caused by both COVID and the COVID jab. I lost track of where I was at here. Continues and says that since 2020, there have been 1,000 reports of these vaccine-related myocarditis or pericarditis in children under 18, primarily young males, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And you know why I buzz them there? Because it's more than 1,000 cases. So you see, what NBC is doing here is negligence on two fronts. One, that figure is dated from nearly 1 year ago. And you can see that on physiciansweekly.com, where they report on the VAERS data. And the report that has these numbers in it was from January 27th, 2022, nearly 1 year ago, folks. And in that report, it states that more than 192 million people at this point had roughly received 354 million mRNA COVID jabs between December 2020 and August 2021. And out of those, there were 1,626 cases at that point on the VAERS reporting system, most of which occurred in young males. Now, that's one issue, because since then, there's been, what, another year of data, over a year, almost a year and a half. So that's one malfeasance. Secondly, any true journalist or news organization that actually is seeking the truth would have cited the 2020, no, I'm sorry, it was the 20, 2012 report from the study in Boston showing that VAERS data is underreported by a factor of 43 to 1. So let's just say it was 1,000 adults, young adults, primarily males, who received or experienced this side effect. Well, with this data from the Boston report of 2012, that would be 43,000 cases, and any journalist worth his weight or her weight should have been saying that. And that's why I'm saying that this NBC article is pure, goes on, and continues to state misinformation, but I have a ton of information to get through today, so I'm not going to be able to do all this. But what I'd like to do is share a clip from Russell Brand that says it so well. And it's about a 20-minute clip, but I'm not playing the whole thing. I'm just going to play the first minute or two. And I think Russell does such a good job exposing the hypocrisy of the system. And this was titled Myocarditis and the Great COVID Swindle. And he's looking at one of the UK prime ministers in health, who is now a reality star on television. Or just listen to his commentary in these first 2 minutes.
The British health minister in charge of the pandemic is now in a celebrity show eating testicles in the jungle. Meanwhile, Pfizer and Moderna are finally testing vaccines for their impact on myocarditis. So we ask, was the entire pandemic a reality show? During the pandemic, the British Health Minister was Matt Hancock. That means he was essentially in charge of the lockdown restrictions, the policies around vaccines, moving elderly people from one care home to another where they could infect one another, where lockdown measures were imposed on ordinary people that were not met by the government. He himself, of course, broke those lockdown restrictions to have an extramarital affair. Here he is doing that. The reason we're talking about this is because Pfizer and Moderna are now testing their vaccines for their impact on myocarditis. This means that the narrative around COVID continues to shift. The reason for having vaccine passports, the reason for having vaccines at all, the reasons for having lockdowns, the efficacy of vaccines, the impact of COVID. The question that we're offering you is, what kind of reality are we living in now, where a minister who a couple of years ago was in charge of these measures, who was responsible for reporting these regulations to the nation, is now in a reality TV show eating testicles, joshing and joking? I suppose the broader question that we're asking now is, what is the nature of our democracy? What is the nature of our media? What is the nature of our reality when the place that you're most likely to see a reasonable debate about the pandemic and its impact is on a reality TV show where politicians and pop stars and athletes eat animal genitalia for the amusement of the public? And how do we square that with the fact that pharmaceutical companies are now finally conducting tests for the potential impact of those vaccines on heart conditions?
Thank you, Russell Brand. Thank you for keeping people aware and informed. You know, if we simply forget and ignore what Russell Brand said in this video, we may as well just surrender all of our rights and liberties to the politicians and let them keep us in bondage forever. You know, why don't we just go and sign up for the global plantation? You know, this scandemic has negatively affected millions, if not billions, of people in increasingly exponential manners and in ways that we couldn't have fathomed just a few short years ago. But praise the Lord, people are starting to wake up and they're starting to see the light. Liberal and conservative alike. Ongoing, brother. The masses are finally starting to get it. And they need people like Russell. You know, everybody won't listen to me. Everybody won't listen to Alex Jones or Mike Adams. But different people will listen to Russell Brand. And they had better get with it. Because now we have the World Health Organization treaty about ready to be unconstitutionally ratified by the Biden regime. And Dr. Boyles has been doing some very good interviews out there. He's done a full analysis of this. He's a legal scholar. And he says that this is essentially going to strip us of all of our constitutional rights. There's a good interview over on Brighteon on Health Ranger. Dr. Boyles was interviewed this past week. I'd suggest you go out and listen to it. But right now, maybe next We'll do more on that. But right now we have to keep moving, and it's time for Brother Alex's and Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update.
It's a scam, damn it. They call it the great equal life. And say we're all in this together. Except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
You know, we've been getting started each week in this segment with the sudden adult death syndrome update. And talk about sudden, folks. This one, this next clip we're going to listen to, finally proves that pilots are, in fact, collapsing and dying while on duty in an active aircraft. So this is a clip that was captured, and you can do this. You can download these apps, and you can get these scanner systems, kind of like the old Bearcat scanners if you're a bit older like me, where you could listen to the police radio, you could listen to the air traffic controllers based on the crystals that you would purchase from Radio Shack. And in this particular application, somebody captured this conversation between the cockpit and the co-pilot and air traffic control. Now, it's about 4 minutes and 25 seconds long, but I don't know if we're going to play the whole thing. I just want you to hear the dialogue going on between the air traffic controller and the co-pilot, who's now taking control of the aircraft.
10 Tower, Envoy 3556.
Can I help you?
6, we need to return. Captain is incapacitated.
Right, Envoy 3556, as instructed. Go ahead and give me that right turn heading 040.
Right turn 040, Envoy 3556.
I maintain 5,000 feet, and now I'm going to ship you to Chicago departure on 125.0. We're going to get your resequence right back in.
25-0-356. And departure Envoy 3556, 4,000, 5,000.
Envoy 3556, pardon?
Yeah, with the 4,500, 5,000.
Envoy 3556, you're returning, is that correct?
Yeah, affirmative, as quick as possible. Captain is the guest. Is out.
Envoy 3556, as you should expect, runway 28 center, this is flying up 080.
Hey, 080, Envoy 3556.
Envoy 3556, speed is your discretion, you're going to go right in, just going to maintain 3,000.
Down 3,000, Envoy 3556, expect to speak rate.
Envoy 3556, connect Chicago Post on 133.62.
3362, Envoy 3556. Yeah, Chicago Envoy 3556 is 5,000 to 3,000.
Envoy 3556, Chicago approach, Rudder. Expect the visual approach runway 28 center. They give you discretion to 3, is that right?
Yep, and we're out of 4,800 to 3,000.
Okay, and did you have any information I need to pass along to the tower in terms of paramedics, gate number, any of that?
I know gate number, and he's knocked out. We're going to need paramedics working on everything right now.
Okay, thank you. Envoy 3556, we can turn base just as soon as you'd like for the visual approach. You let me know when.
Let's start in now for 3556.
Okay, Envoy 3556, right turn heading 180 down to 2500. Call the airport when you see it.
All right, 180 down to 2500, Envoy 3556.
Okay, that's enough. That's about half of it. And I hope you could get the gist of what's going on there. So the co-pilot reported to air traffic control that the pilot has been incapacitated. And praise the Lord for this co-pilot, Captain Hendrickson. He took control of the plane and managed to land it safely. A little later on, you heard him say, the captain's out and we're going to need paramedics to work on him. So Ford, the pilot, was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. And his cause of death wasn't immediately released. And the vice president of flight operations for Envoy Air released a statement concerning this incident. He said, despite heroic efforts to revive him, the captain in training, Patrick Ford, passed away. He wasn't even really a full pilot. Rick Wilson, the vice president of flight operations at Envoy Air, said in a message to fellow pilots, we are deeply saddened by this loss. And sincere thanks to line check airman Captain Brandon
Erickson for his leadership and professionalism in safely landing this aircraft along with the passengers and crew. So Patrick Ford passed away, folks. And the number of pilots who have passed out or fainted or died while in flight is increasing in the recent months. A recent Boeing flight commander died suddenly during a flight between Novokuznetsk and St. Petersburg in Russia back in September. And the co-pilot had to make an emergency landing at the Omsk airport. This is sad, folks. Another one in Greece. Pilot reportedly fainted at 30,000 feet, prompting the plane to make an emergency landing last August by the co-pilot. And then Commercial Aviation News, Aviation Herald, reported that two pilots on a flight to Sudan, Ethiopia, from Sudan to Ethiopia last August, apparently fell asleep and missed their landing. So the plane was on autopilot, and they both passed out. This is really alarming, folks. Plus, there's a reader that reached out to the Gateway Pundit last June. The air traffic controllers working in Madrid, Spain, are tipping him and his wife off that there were 28 unscheduled emergency landings in May 2022 alone due to medical issues associated with people losing consciousness. Now, in a normal year, this happens one or two times. You put the pieces of the puzzle together, folks. This is alarming. Now, ironically, all the abandonment of safety protocols by the airline industry is doing nothing but further reduce safety. One suggestion they want the FAA to approve is reduce flight hours to qualify as a pilot. Plus, now they're trying to get worldwide regulations changed so that every flight to alleviate the pilot shortages that were caused by pilots refusing to get the jab who are no longer flying and took early retirement. So these are two egregious safety risks. Folks, can you imagine flying on a flight that only had one pilot on board and he only had two-thirds of the previously required flight hours to qualify as a pilot? This is insane. I don't even know what to say about this, folks. This is what they want. And speaking of dying suddenly, have you heard about Stu Peters' new documentary titled Died Suddenly? Well, I have a trailer here for it, and I'd like to play it. It's a few minutes long, like most trailers. And I thought what it would do is introduce you to this excellent documentary. It's about an hour long. Let's have a listen.
Why? Why do we never believe them?
These people know. These people know.
Who knows?
The governments know. This has been well planned. This is Agenda 2030. This is the Great Reset.
Somebody mentioned to go onto Google and go into the news section and then type in died suddenly. And lo and behold, here's a whole listing of people, of articles, of people within that last week who died suddenly. Older people, but a lot of younger people throughout around the world.
And then you find out they were vaccinated. And so it's like, okay, so it's the vaccine might be causing this.
Most people don't want to know what's in the vaccine.
But yet when we open it almost 2 years into this, we find that it still says intentionally blank.
In fact, nobody wants to know what's in the vaccine because, look, if people understood what was in the vaccine, they'd go apeshit.
It's just there's something different about the blood. Something's causing this, and something needs to be said. Somebody needs to look into it.
I've talked to other embalmers that have 30, 40, even 50 years of experience. Have you guys ever seen this stuff before? And the answer was always, I've never seen anything like it.
Why is Bill Gates involved in public health? And why does public health spend the first part telling you how the world is overpopulating?
And at first glance, This is a bit scary.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds.
That's a 12 sigma event. One in 800 years. 12 standard deviations above the mean.
No one's even calculated that. It's apocalyptic.
I thought she was protected with that Pfizer.
Sir?
She was protected with that Pfizer.
There's a huge part of me that feels a responsibility for everything that's happened. I'm so sorry.
The doctor, after a while, came out and said, your son's dead, you can go home now.
Who knows? Young people are dying with this.
To Mr. Hirschman, this is different. This isn't normal, is it? And he said, absolutely not.
The dead can't speak for themselves, so therefore, I have to speak for them.
We're connecting dots here. You know, there's no way that that type of obstruction would not cause stroke, heart failure.
My sister died. She was 58, and she died suddenly on Friday of a heart attack.
They will do with you what they feel like doing to you. It's the new bullet. It's the new missile. It's the new form of warfare.
I wanted people to understand that we're in a fifth generation warfare for the heart and the mind.
This is the greatest orchestrated die-off in the history of the world.
There's most definitely evil in this world, and evil like we could not possibly imagine.
That last statement was perhaps the most profound. There is evil in this world. And that's what Paul told the members of the church at Ephesus in his letter to the Ephesians. Folks, this film is very well done, combining both data with expert testimony. Now, one thing I was uncertain about occurs near the end, about the 57-minute mark. They show a graph with stillbirths per 1,000 births increasing dramatically throughout 2020. Now, since the vaccine wasn't administered in any significant way to this age group of child-rearing women until 2021, the question that should have been asked and it wasn't was, well, what caused this increased pre-jab? Well, most likely it was COVID. In fact, reports are now out that long COVID and vax side effects are extremely similar. That's the only thing that I could be critical of on this film and what it didn't mention. So it's still worth your time to see. And talking about ironic, did you hear this? The FDA backtracks during the trial that they're now in by some doctors in Texas claiming that not taking ivermectin for COVID-19 was merely a recommendation. Can you believe this, folks? So in December 2021, the FDA warned us not to use ivermectin intended for animals to treat worms and not prevent COVID-19. Now, this was a very controversial statement at the time. In fact, some of the late night hosts got picked up on it. There were memes out there about a horse. Do you remember all those things? A horse is a horse, of course. And the FDA was pushing the abolition of this drug. But folks, the truth is that there are over 93 scientific studies on ivermectin showing that it significantly benefits those suffering from COVID-19 when it's administered in the early stages. And the science out there is undeniable on it. There were provinces in India that validated this. There are entire countries like Japan that saw significant reductions in the COVID rate relative to the rest of the world when they administered ivermectin. Now let's fast forward to today. During this recent hearing, the government lawyers argued that the FDA was only giving advice and was not mandating or requiring people to stop taking ivermectin for COVID-19. Their attorney stated, and this is a quote, "The cited statements were not directives. They were not mandatory. They were recommendations." They said what the party should do. They said, for example, why should you not take ivermectin to treat COVID-19? They did not say, you may not do it, or you must not do it. They did not say it's prohibitive or unlawful. They also did not, doctors may not prescribe it. Well, okay, I'll buy that. But if it wasn't mandatory, then why did the FDA order FedEx and UPS and all the other carriers to seize any known order of ivermectin as it was being shipped? Why? Plus, why then did the FDA, who already approved ivermectin for use in other vector-borne diseases, but not COVID-19, why did they have pharmacies across the country denying access to this drug when physicians wrote the script for their patients suffering from COVID-19? You know, off-label use of FDA-approved drugs has always been an accepted standard of care until this scandemic. It's always been at the discretion of the doctor and the patient. Do you remember that one FDA meme? You're not a horse. You're not a cow. Serious, y'all. Stop it. Now, how about their other post, which stated, hold your horses, y'all. Ivermectin may be trending, but it isn't authorized or approved to treat COVID-19. Well, neither is the jab. And neither are the Pfizer pills out now that they tried to push on Terry last week. Folks, she had a stomach flu after being around some vaccinated people, but she did not test with the antigen test positive for COVID. And her doctor wanted her to take the Pfizer pills. You know, this lawsuit was initiated by three doctors, Dr. Paul Merrick of Virginia, Dr. Mary Bowden of Texas, and Dr. Robert Apter of Arizona. And they all have been assaulted professionally since they started to prescribe ivermectin to treat their patients, and they all have very good success with it. Remember, this is a Nobel Prize-winning antiparasitic drug, and it's been deployed against some of the worst, most devastating tropical diseases this world's ever seen. And it's far safer, by orders of magnitude than this potentially lethal experimental COVID jab that we've been talking about. And then here's perhaps the best plaintiff in this entire case. Dr. Meryl Nass is a doctor from Maine with over 40 years of experience, yet she can no longer practice because her license has been suspended. And why? For spreading COVID misinformation and treating COVID patients with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Now, here's where it gets really crazy. Dr. Nass has also been ordered to undergo neuropsychological evaluations because her actions are considered mentally unstable, opinion in the FDA. Folks, this is classic Soviet-style control. Label the target as mentally ill and then control them. But more on that a little bit later in the show. You know, earlier this year, Project Veritas released never-before-seen military documents concerning the origins of the COVID-19 gain-of-function research, the vaccines, potential treatments, and the government's effort to conceal it all. Now, this document contained evidence that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were effective in treating the coronavirus, and yet this information was hidden from the American public. Folks, these are crimes against humanity. And this document can be viewed. If you're interested, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll give you a screen capture image of it. Folks, it's so important that we get this word out, and I'm going to encourage you to continue to post this podcast wherever you may be with social media. Get the word out. Let's wake people up. You know, there's so much news breaking on a daily basis, folks. The deep state web is being exposed. So there's been these two studies on ivermectin out this past year, each concluding that it's ineffective against COVID. The studies were both flawed in both the dosage of ivermectin and the duration of the treatment. Yet I'm telling you, these studies are deliberate misrepresentations of the truth. And get this, here's the breaking news, folks. The biggest of the two studies, known as the Together study, guess who funded that study? Are you ready, folks? I should have queued up a drum roll here, but I didn't. Sam Bankman-Fried and his now bankrupt FTX exchange. Can you believe this stuff?
What? Folks? What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. So now you know the rest of the story. And get this one, Paul. After all of this, the FDA has the nerve in this hearing to tell the people not to take ivermectin to treat COVID-19 was merely a recommendation? Folks, the media and the government needs to stop lying and gaslighting and propagandizing. Dr. Mirlo called this the rape of the mind. And more on that later on. But remember, as believers, we're to be aware but not fearful. Stand strong. And how do we stand strong, folks? In the Lord. You know, any and every time I talk to folks, doctors, medical professionals, nurses, people in the general health care field, I ask questions that I already know about the virus. And I'm amazed at the answers I get. With a few exceptions, like my red-pilled sister and listener to the show who's a surgical nurse, none of them know squat. And it just appalls me. Their laziness and mindless attitude towards this subject is astonishing. These are supposed to be intelligent people. And my advice continues to be, do not go to the hospital if you have this disease, unless you want to die. Use the Zelenko protocol. Follow it to the letter, and you'll be just as 100% of his patients were. Or use the H2O2, more commonly known as hydrogen peroxide protocol. Email me if you're interested in that one. It's in a paper published by some doctors in Mexico. And I'll send you a link to that paper, folks. And by the grace of God, that cured me. And I know there are many good doctors out there who are seeing patients and administering hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, in the same way or similar ways that Dr. Zelenko advised. And thank God for all of them. And most of them are having 100% effective results. Yet they're told to stop or else they're going to lose their license to practice if they continue, like Dr. Peter McCullough did. So all in all, most doctors stood by and went along to get along and did nothing. And in my humble opinion, those people need to be the ones that are deplatformed. They need to lose their license. And the ones who are actively denying the use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, those people need to be tried in a court of law under the protocols of the Geneva Convention, and they need to hang, for this is a crime against humanity. I'm talking about people like the fraud Fauci and his ilk. Are they any more deserving of life than the vermin that were hung after the World War II and after the trials they had in Nuremberg? You know, this may sound harsh, folks, but you need to understand what a shocking execution this would be and why this was actually put into the Nuremberg Code. You know, it was established to stop any such crimes against humanity from ever happening again, yet sadly they did. I wonder what the Russians are really thinking about the 80-odd biowarfare labs that Bill Gates and the CDC and the Defense Department set up all along the Russian border with Ukraine. Folks, America needs to ask itself if they're in favor of continuing to be the bad guys around the world. Let's face it, we're sending weapons to the Nazis in Ukraine, murdering late-term babies, and now the U.S. wants to give kids this Bill Gates-funded mass murder bioweapon, also known as the COVID jab, as part of their standard vaccination protocol. Come on, folks. What have we, the people of the United States, become? Well, I'll tell you what we are right now. We're craven monsters. And we need to wake up and say no more. Think about it. India and some other nations have actually filed papers with the ICC. And you know why? Because they're seeing these crimes against humanity. And it would be nice if our country started this disaster on the world and whose corporations profited from it would do something to prevent further death and destruction. Folks, are we really going to allow our establishment hacks to continue to poison our children and grandchildren, really? Folks, I didn't take the jab. I never will. And why? Because I research and read and then I critically think. And we all have a functioning brain and we need to use it. Don't allow your mind to be raped by the establishment. Please, I implore you, folks. Yet sadly, me and the listeners here, we're in a vast minority. And I see that Fauci's still under the Democrats' protection in this recent White House press release. I don't know if you saw it or not. I don't have time to cover it. I'm just telling you, we the people need to fix this. We need to stand up and say no more. And I implore you folks to do it. Now, I've been running on and on about this, but we have to keep moving. And it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means solve, bu means dance. Ki means steal from the verb, kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflation, forward it done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So whatever you may think of these Western leaders, the truth about them eventually comes out. And I did hear some buzz that French President Macron was just such a good guy, but recently at the APEC summit told the world, and this was in Thailand and it opened up last Friday, the last of the three world summits, he told the world that we need a new world order. Now, remember, he's a graduate of the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders. Let's have a listen to him. And he's talking in terms of animals. All the nations are different animals. Kind of reminds me of Animal Farm by George Orwell. All animals are equal. Pigs are more equal than everyone else. Here we go.
Trying to become more and more nervous. If they become very nervous and start war, it will be a big problem for the rest of the jungle. You need cooperation of a lot of other animals. Tigers, monkeys, and so on. Are you on the US or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see that there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake. Even for both the US and China, we need a single global order.
Also known as the New World Order. Now, as I said, he's a graduate of the Young Global Leader Program at the WF, and he's calling for a New World Order. And do you know why? Well, so their evil can no longer be restrained. And it's typically restrained by the nation-state world order circuit breakers that were established by God back in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. Folks, has been tried before. And God tells us in the Bible over and over that it doesn't work. Our God is the God of sovereign nations. He will not permit a one world order, even into the end times. And guess what the book of Isaiah refers to Satan as? Well, Isaiah referred to Satan as the destroyer of nations. And if you do a number study on the acronym WEF, it comes out to 666. And then there's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And when you look at that, Genesis 1, colon 1, that's the double spiral helix of human DNA. Now, Dr. Malone just recently talked about a deadly jab and the triple spiral helix affecting the human genome through the mRNA tech. And when you get this, you get this triple strand. You essentially have the makings of the Antichrist. Now, he's a three-person counterfeit, the Holy Trinity. You got Satan, Beast, and the false prophet, the pseudo Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so to speak, 666. And six is the number of man. So three persons genetically combined, connected how? Through mRNA genetic manipulation. So yes, WEF, 666. I'm telling you, folks, the stage is being set for the beast to be seated on the global throne. But praise the Lord, we know how it ends, and Jesus wins. Folks, that's the reason that pulled out all stops on cheat with these election results in the midterms. Their plan is to implement a worldwide neo-Marxist society, formerly known as communism, and it's set to go into effect very soon. It is. You know, Jay Valentine over at the American Thinker published an article this past week, Election Fraud 2.0. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? Very good article, and I'm just going to summarize what he's talking about in it. He's talking about this thing known as floating ballots, and he said that's the Democratic leftist ballot strategy to steal this election. And it isn't very difficult. It isn't expensive. It's just the whole strategy to create these phantom ballots and count them as legitimate votes. And it's very easy to see how it's all happening. Mike Lindell has proven it. Others have. You know, we've got 2,000 mules. There's some very good fractal programming analysis over at omega4america.com. And you can look at the voter rules, and you can look at the actual votes cast, and you can see that there's a disconnect between the two. So I'm telling you, folks, we the people need to stand up and say no more phantom voter fraud. That's at the core of this whole thing. So I encourage you to go out there and read this article. But as I did, and then as I looked at some of the comments, I see that most people, most MAGA, pro-America, patriotic type people, they're missing the point of this article. And about maybe 99% of all the patriotic, pro-America, make America great type people. You know why they're missing the point? I just hear them preaching to the choir. I hear whining about the election still. I can't tell you how many patriots I've talked to about this election integrity. And all I hear are lame excuses why people can't help. Oh, I have a bad back, or my foot's hurting, or my wife won't let me. All they do is whine. But I've been telling you for quite some time now, there are some winning strategies. PrecinctStrategy.com is one. And whoscounting.com, .us is another one. Places you can go out to and get started. Folks, we need to stand up. And praise the Lord, it appears that Carrie Lake's lawyering up and is planning to wage lawfare. But time is not on her side, folks. There are serious issues in the Maricopa County general election. And that's pretty clear right now. Long, long lines in the voter polling areas, especially where it's deep red, and they were told to drop their ballots in the separate container called Box 3 to be counted later. And we played that patriot from Arizona last week who just blew up at the election officials in Maricopa County. Now, this fraud is being reported by both election experts and election workers, and these uncounted ballots are mixed with counted ballots, and there's no way of tracing them or following their chain of custody. These issues that occurred mostly in Republican districts at over 30% of the polling locations on Election Day, the corrupt Maricopa County officials would have us believe that only 17,000 ballots were affected by this drop them in box number 3. Now, Republicans in the state of Arizona had a 72% turnout on Election Day, yet Democrats only had a 17% turnout. But for some reason, the remaining ballots after Election Day broke even between the two parties, despite Republicans holding strong leads in the polls. Folks, I'm telling you, this is impossible. And Carrie Lake is seeing it too. I'd like to play a 2-minute and 20-second clip, her message to the Arizona voters and all Americans on the botched, broken midterms. And we do need to fix this, folks, or we're going to lose our country.
Hi, this is Carrie Lake, and I have a message to the people of Arizona and all Americans. 40 days ago, elections in Arizona officially started when mail-in ballots were sent out across our state. Election day was 13 days ago, and Maricopa County is still counting ballots. Printer problems, tabulation errors, three-hour-long lines, and even longer. And confusing instructions given by election officials made this election day the most chaotic in Arizona's history. Half of voting centers that opened for the first time on election day, where the overwhelming majority of voters were voting for Carrie Lake, were not operational or had significant failures. Would you get on an airplane if half of the engines didn't work? Would our friends in the media be able to broadcast their nightly propaganda if only half of their studio equipment was working? The 2022 general election in Arizona was botched and broken beyond repair. Thankfully, the Attorney General's office is demanding answers from Maricopa County. Attorney General Mark Brnovich is taking the first steps necessary to remedy this assault on our democracy. This isn't about Republicans or Democrats. This is about our sacred right to vote, a right that many voters were sadly deprived of on November 8th. Tens of thousands of you have reached out, pleading with me to fight this fight. Rest assured, I will, because if we give up now, we will no longer have a country. Attorneys are working diligently to gather information. Whistleblowers are coming forward, and the curtain is being lifted. Whether done accidentally or intentionally, it is clear that this election was a debacle that destroyed any trust in our elections. Arizonans who choose to make their voice heard on election day should not be disenfranchised or punished for choosing to vote in person. Yet they were. I want you to know, Arizona, I will continue fighting until we restore confidence and faith in our elections.
You know, folks, I think things may start to get ugly out there in Arizona. But sadly, they have to. She is lawyering up. And I want you to listen to the tone in this next clip. It's between a very calm Carrie Lake attorney and a highly agitated Maricopa County solicitor. Now, there's a profanity warning here, so if you have any young listeners, please cover your ears. And I apologize for that last one. It slipped. But I can't report this news if I don't play the clips that are out there proving the positions I'm making or taking on this broadcast. So let's have a listen to this Maricopa County attorney blowing up at this volunteer, this attorney that's volunteering his services for the Carrie Lake campaign.
All right, Tom, I think...
I'm doing my job, helping you do your job.
I think we're in agreement. We don't want that stuff to happen.
Yeah, I completely understand what your job is. I did it for years. For the United States, for the Congressional Committee, and for Canada.
I understand. One thing that would be really helpful is for us to be able to say that Tom Liddy is giving us good information. And that's one thing that is in your control, and we would really appreciate
it. No, it's not. Guess what? Let me educate you. I cannot control what you say. Okay? You can say whatever you want to say. I can't control it. Now, if you're not happy working with me and you don't want to continue working with me and you don't want to answer questions, then we'll just stop. I don't give a shit.
No, Tom, that's the opposite of what I'm saying. I want to work with you. I want to get the right information. I don't want disinformation out of there. That is what I'm working for.
I'm not looking for disinformation. I just, you got these two questions. I'm going to go ask them.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that you're giving me bad information. I'm just saying we're getting a lot of information, and we want to make sure what we're getting is accurate.
Hold on a second. Who am I talking to? Who is this?
This is...
Let me say something. You sound like you're threatening me.
I'm definitely not threatening you, and I promise that I'm...
Listen, if I don't get these answers to you quickly, you're not to be able to tell the crazy people that I've been helpful. I don't give a fuck. Is that clear enough?
Yes, Tom, and I want to promise you, I'm not threatening you.
I think you no more threats from Tom.
Definitely no threats.
Good.
Okay, I'm just saying what I'm worried about.
I don't care.
Okay, and you don't care. All right.
Do you have a fourth question for me?
I think that's all our questions, Tom.
All right, so let me go and try and get to the answers.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Wow. Did you hear him? That Maricopa County solicitor called us crazy. There it is again, folks. Soviet style control methodology outlined by Dr. Mirlo in his book, Rape of the Mind, but more on that later. First and foremost, there was indeed a red wave, no debate, the remnants of which are evidenced in the resulting changes of balance in the power found in the House and soon to be in the Senate with the Herschel Walker race. Now, along these same lines of reasoning, Carrie Lake did win her election. She had heavy turnout from a very unsatisfied electorate. And these results are now in the process of being totally eradicated. So the Hobbs win was a win that happened through curing into existence ballots that became votes that were never legal and lawful votes. And that process takes time as they harvest these phantom ballots that we talked about. And meanwhile, the leftist media persistently reports Biden's approval in the low 40s or 30s. The national sentiment towards the policies coming out of Washington are horrible. The agenda was voted in by we the people. Can you see the absurdity here, folks? All of this and so much more is proof that we've been cornered by this fraudulent voter ballot harvesting, and we've been given dullards like Hobbs. And out here in Pennsylvania, don't even get me started with what happened with Fetterman. They need this extra time, cure, or make in the least bit plausible these results, yet they're not, folks. And here's the grave warning. If Carrie Lake's win can be effectively canceled by a dirty election, which Hobbs herself presided over, there's no hope left for this nation. I truly believe this is where we have to take our stand. And you know what else? It's strange how many down-ballot Republicans won, yet millions more voted for the Democratic governor. That makes no sense. Like I said last week, people know in their gut, even the lefties, that things aren't right. They know election fraud in Arizona, if revealed, could be the major domino that causes the fall of the entire scam done by rhinos and Democrats alike. Maybe the entire fraud called vote scam that we talked about last week could be revealed here through Arizona. So pray, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you shine the light of truth upon this. Beware, because these World Economic Forum Democrats and rhinos aren't going to give up without a fight. They're going to fight tooth and nail, in fact, to prevent the house of cards from falling. And I'm telling you, if it falls in Arizona, I think it's going to fall across this country and then worldwide. And when you think about this, you know what comes to mind? Brazil. Did you hear what's happening there? Bolsonaro's party in Brazil files legal complaints challenging Lula's election still. France 24 reports that Brazilian President Bolsonaro has challenged the election. He finally did it, folks. He's claiming that leftist rival Lula da Silva, we talked about him with Operation Car Wash, has essentially stolen the election through voting machines that should be invalidated. Now, the Supreme Court justice is a left-leaning man. I think he was actually appointed by Lula when he was fighting this. But Bolsonaro's coalition said that they need an audit in a second-round runoff between Bolsonaro and Lula. because there are too many irreparable signs of malfunction in too many electronic voting machines. But, you know, I've been wondering, could all this just be controlled opposition? Bolsonaro, Carrie Lake, Donald Trump, could they all be controlled opposition? How about DeSantis, folks? You know, everybody's saying Ron DeSantis for president in 2024, and what a ticket would be if Trump and DeSantis could run together, but they can't because they both live in the same state and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, who's backed by so many patriots, is also backed by many globalist billionaires who are at war with the America First agenda. Now, there's a Twitter user that calls himself traditional Catholic, and he posted a very informative thread about the people behind DeSantis. He could call it a who's who of American financiers in the political realm. And I'll tell you, you'd be appalled by the people putting huge amounts of money in Ron DeSantis in their attempt to derail Trump populism and return the GOP to part of the Uniparty. You know, 60% of DeSantis' donations have come from donations of $50,000 or more. Yet 54% of Donald Trump's donations have come from donations of $2,200 or less. And just 6% of these donations went to DeSantis. So he's backed by these huge billionaires in the establishment. One of them was Ken Griffith. He donated $5 million to DeSantis, and he's a fierce opponent of American First policies. And he doesn't like what's happening with these populist moves that DeSantis is making in Florida right now. Yet he thinks he can control DeSantis as he's able to defeat Trump and get the Republicans back in line with the Uniparty. And then there's WeatherTech founder David McNeil. He gave $800,000 to DeSantis, and his biggest issue is giving amnesty to illegal immigrants. He opposed Trump in 2020 because of Trump's immigration policies and stopping illegal immigration. Think about it. McNeil needs these undocumented laborers to work in his sweatshops. That's probably the case. And then there's the Wall Street hedge manager, Paul Tudor Jones, a billionaire who's given $1 million to DeSantis. And he's a very close friend of convicted Democrat sex offender Harry Weinstein. And he's helped to fundraise for Barack Hussein Obama back in 2008. So that's why I say, could DeSantis, Carrie Lake, even Donald Trump all be controlled opposition? We the people need to take back control, folks. In fact, I've got two clips here on DeSantis. This one goes back to 2020. This is Ron DeSantis speaking, and he's marching in lockstep with regard to the shutdowns. And specifically here, he's talking about bars and restaurants, I think. But let's have a listen.
If people see a pub or a restaurant, you know, if they're operating at 55%, okay, give them a warning. Tell them, hey, 50. But if you go in and it's just like mayhem, like Dance Party USA, and it's packed to the rafters, that's just cut and dry, and that's not just an innocent mistake. And so I told him, no tolerance for that. Just suspend the license, and then we'll move on. And then people will, I hopefully, get the message that these guidelines are in place for a reason. So we want to make sure people are continuing to follow the basic instructions, whether it's masks, social distancing, washing your hands. You know, that stuff will help reduce the spread. And when we went through this in March and took different actions, March and April, you know, the goal was to slow the spread so that we could flatten the curve and have the hospital capacity to deal with the effects of the virus. That obviously worked. We had in April, we were projected by some of these models to have 460,000 people hospitalized. We had about 2,200 at the date that they picked for that, and the hospitals were never threatened to go overboard. We were good. But we also knew that when you flatten the curve, you will have the infections spread out longer. If you don't flatten the curve, it goes up, and then it kind of crashes down. So flatter curve means you're still going to have cases. We said that from the beginning, that the virus isn't gone. We want to be able to get people back to work in a way that is going to mitigate further spread. And so these guidelines are very, very important. And so that's what we want to be doing. And I want to send it over to Secretary Beshears about kind of the message for folks, to particularly the businesses, to make sure that you know, that they're following following the guidelines.
So there you heard it in his own voice, folks. He's basically lockstepping all of these World Health Organization and CDC draconian measures, not to help people with their health, but to control them. He talked about flattening the curve, and he said these guidelines are important. In fact, not just important, and not just very important, but he said very, very important. Plus, he had pastors arrested and thrown in jail for holding services during his lockdown. He grotesquely infringed upon religious liberty, and he made a mockery of the First Amendment during this scamdemic, folks. Here's a report from an ABC affiliate in Tampa reporting on this egregious affront to our constitutional rights under the DeSantis administration during the lockdown.
This just in, a Tampa Bay pastor has been arrested for violating coronavirus social distancing rules by holding two large services at his church over the weekend. This is Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, co-founder of the River at Tampa Bay Church. Investigators say he turned himself into the Hernando County Jail this afternoon on charges of unlawful assembly and violating quarantine orders during the public health emergency. Brown was freed a short time later after posting bail.
Unlawful assembly? Did you hear that, folks? What happened to separation of church and state? What happened to our First Amendment right to freely and peaceably assemble? Isn't that what happens in congregations? Isn't that what happens when the ecclesia gets together? Don't they freely and peacefully assemble to worship? You know, DeSantis, just like Trump, shield for the experimental jabs, too. He assured the public that they were safe for usage and would stop transmission, and that all turned out to be a lie. But I don't know about this governor, folks. There are some problems with DeSantis, too many for him to be the Republican presidential nominee in 2024. Besides, he needs to stay in Florida. So a patriot, and I'm wondering if it's Trump, can remedy his unfinished business, our unfinished business on a national level in 2024. Folks, this uniparty dog and pony show that's been going on for decades now needs to be broken. You know, first the Luciferians captured the Democratic Party, and that happened over a period of time after the war between the states. And then around the time of Reagan, the Luciferians, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, they caught the Republican Party after Daddy Bush got that VP seat. Heck, even Obama admitted that elections are fixed. This next clip goes back to 2008. Here's Obama talking about voting machines and election fraud. Have a listen.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines. But look, I come from Chicago, so I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction. Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio.
That's enough of that. Folks, why are we the people just accepting the elections as if there's nothing we can do about it? We're being made to believe there's nothing we can do about stolen elections, so just go along to get along with it, and if you speak out, you're an election denier. Folks, Democrats and rhino Republicans alike and their globalistic funders want you to fall in line. They don't want you to be an election denier, even if your instinct's telling you otherwise. And you know that these elections were stolen. And why? Well, this is all about control of the population. And the best way to do it, as we're going to see a little later in this message, is by the rape of the mind. So you're bad. You're mentally unstable if you say that ivermectin could help you with your COVID. You're bad. You're mentally unstable if you say the election was stolen or Biden wasn't elected. You know, people need to stop falling in line with this tacit obedience political warfare of gaslighting and propaganda to control the populace, we need to stand up and say no. But I'm looking at the clock and I'm running out of time. We have to keep moving. It's time for Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow, 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 follow.
Remember, folks, the Bible tells us, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, we've talked about the central bank digital currency known as the CBDC and its link to the social credit score. Well, the Biden regime has moved us one step closer to our social credit score now as he agrees with the World Economic Forum and the WHO's global COVID passport to travel. It's going to be linked to your compliance, folks. Now, Tucker Carlson had legal philosopher Eva Weiderstrombrock. I guess I may have pronounced that incorrectly, but I can't pronounce that big, long Swedish name. Anyways, Eva is a legal philosopher, and she's on Tucker Carlson recently talking about the CBDC. Let's have a listen to Eva on Tucker Carlson. It's about a two-minute clip.
These people are aware of the fact that our constitutional rights are being set aside without an end date, and that we're heading towards a new system, a tyrannical regime of mass surveillance and control. And this is not just a hunch. This is all part of a bigger plan. This is something people who are watching right now can actually go and look up. What's very important for the American audience to know is that we've had this digital COVID pass in place in Europe, which is basically like a QR code on your phone that grants you access to everyday life, like to bars, restaurants, etc. It's completely bound to your vax status. And this is all part of a European project issued by the European Commission that is basically surrounded around this idea of a European digital identity. So this will not stay just linked to your vaccination status. This will encompass taxes. This will encompass your medical records apart from your vaccination status, your bank information. So basically, we already have a system in place right now that is very close, or at least reminds us of the beginning phases of a social credit system. We are literally turning into China.
If this were linked to digital currency and presumably paper currencies on the way out, then the average person would be utterly controlled by the government. I mean, the government could just turn off your ability to buy anything, your ability to go anywhere. I mean, at that point, you really are a slave to a supposedly democratic government, are you not?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what they're planning to do, and this agenda is supposed to be laid out by 2030. So that's what we're heading towards. So you see all these people going out in the streets, it's because they know that this is what's going on.
I apologize, I had my mute on. Folks, these vaccine mandates and this vaccine passport, this QR code or whatever it's called, is just the beginning of the social credit system. I'm telling you, we're heading into a new system, a tyrannical regime, a total surveillance state. Europe right now before our eyes is turning into China. And look at Canada and then the things that the Biden regime are trying to dump on us. So by now you've probably heard that Trump's been reinstated by good old Elon on Twitter. And we know all about Elon. Is he controlled opposition? Well, after Trump got reinstated, calls for Alex Jones to be reinstated started. And Elon simply tweeted one word, no. And when pushed by many on the grounds of free speech, what Elon finally tweeted was rather strange. He said, I have no mercy for anyone who would use deaths of children for gain, politics, or fame. So last Sunday, Elon Musk accused Alex Jones of using the deaths of these children up at Sandy Hook for gain, politics, or fame. Now, this comment comes after one user asked Musk, is it time to let Alex Jones back on Twitter? And if not, why not? So he responds with a Bible verse. Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, that's Jesus, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you ever saw a Bible hack, that's a classic. That scripture has nothing to do with children suffering, folks. Here's what it means in modern English. Let me paraphrase. Jesus is telling them, his disciples, to let the little children come to him and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, this word for suffer or let is Strong's D3, aphimi. And it's a word that means to send, to forgive, to forsake, to lay aside, to leave, to let alone, to have, to omit, to remit. 146 times in the King James it's translated as leave. Suffer. 52 times as leave. 47 times as forgive. I said that wrong again. 14 times suffer. 8 times let. 16 times forsake. 6 times let alone. And it's not about suffering. So, Elon, I'm truly sorry for your loss of your baby, and that is a tragic loss. But the media narrative on Alex Jones and Sandy Hook is factually incorrect. And the entire situation needs to be set straight. So this next clip, there's podcaster Ali Alexander explaining how Alex Jones did not profit, seek fame, or political influence from the comments he made on his platform, Infowars.com, concerning the entire Sandy Hook tragedy. And you know, folks, I'm not saying babies didn't die, children didn't die up there. They did. This was a false flag that was used to advance the gun control agenda. And that's the fact. So let's listen to Alexander explain truth about what Alex Jones did concerning Sandy Hook.
The politics was such that the media covered it to reduce the Second Amendment. Alex Jones did not have a political proposal to Sandy Hook. The fame was that Alex Jones amplified internet memes that were found on Twitter. So Twitter was the source of Sandy Hook conspiracies, and Alex Jones amplified that and had a guest on his air. And then Alex Jones frequently agrees with his guests, who are saying very stupid things. There are a bunch of guests that Alex has had on where I've texted him and said, that's not true, here's why it's not true. And Alex Jones sometimes has on guests and agrees with them verbally to move the segment along, or maybe he believes it, you know, who knows. But he's just a man talking extemporaneously off the cuff. His producers are not scripting anything from him. He's not reading a teleprompter or anything like that. And lastly, he didn't make money off of Sandy Hook. His viewership didn't go up because of Sandy Hook, so there wasn't any contemporary gain. He didn't sell new products because of Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook wasn't a promo code. None of that type of stuff. You know who did make money off of ads because of Sandy Hook? CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Twitter. Twitter made more money off the tragic death of Sandy Hook children who were slaughtered, by a name that you probably don't know. More people associate Alex Jones' name with Sandy Hook than the killer. Twitter made more money off of Sandy Hook, both contemporaneously and in the post, than InfoWars or Alex Jones. You guys sold ads. Twitter didn't suspend ads on the hashtag Sandy Hook. CNN did not suspend ads when covering Sandy Hook or faking some of their coverage. Go look at it. Anderson Cooper faked some of his coverage as it relates to Sandy Hook. So I'm not someone who knew Alex Jones at the time or appeared with Alex Jones at the time. Alex Jones has since become a friend of mine. That day was really horrible for me. I woke up, I turned on the news. I turned on CNN, as a matter of fact, watched the news, turned it off, went back into bed. And so the fact is that...
Enough said there, folks. We have to keep moving. I just looked at the clock, and it's getting late here, and I'm going to run out of time. So it's Coop Talk with Henrietta, where we talk preparedness. There you are, Henrietta. Looks like we're going to have a nice fall day here after Thanksgiving. Finally, it's warmed up a bit. I'm going to be helping my neighbor clear some land. He's going to be building his homestead out here 30-plus years after we sold him the land so that we would have a neighbor. He's finally going to move out here. But what I'd like to talk about today are winter prep tips for home and auto. This recent cold snap made me painfully aware of it. I didn't get every pond here right outside the house, just a little ornamental feature with a waterfall and all that. And I didn't get the pumps out. So I'm up to my shoulder in cold water, unfastening the pumps in water that's literally 32 degrees. And you talk about hypothermia. I couldn't bend my hand when I got it out of there, my arm, I should say. So here's just some ways that we can prepare for cold temp snowstorms and lots of snow. Make sure you have an alternative heating option. I don't know what it is in your case, firewood, gas for the generator, whatever. Make sure you have it. Make sure you have plenty of water for drinking, cooking, and personal hygiene. Rotate your food storage stocks and make certain that it's first in, first out. Plenty of batteries. Get those gutters and downspouts cleaned. The worst thing you could have is freezing up there, and then you end up with frost damage as it gets up into your eaves and through your walls. Make any repairs to your house to stay warm. Make sure your furnace is in good control. Your windows are sealed. These are all basics, folks. Trim any limbs that could fall on your house if the snow load gets heavy. Winterize your pipes, your appliances, your windows, your doors. Have some inexpensive games and pastimes in there if there is a snow in, so to speak, so you don't get cabin fever. You know, have some good books to read, whatever. And understand the particular risks in your area. Maybe snow, ice, wind chill factors, whatever. Now, if snow's uncommon, like in the South, where it tends to shut everybody down if there's even like the slightest dusting. I used to work for PPG, and down in Shelby, North Carolina, when there was a dusting of snow, it was like the bumper car rides at the amusement park. Just have a game plan for getting that kids home from school if it's canceled or it's early, and make checklists, use spreadsheets, catalog your supplies, your preparedness, and make certain everything is in place. Now, as far as your car goes, make sure it's got proper antifreeze in it for those deep freeze days we're going to get. Make sure those windshield wiper blades are good. Check your tires. Make sure there's tread on there because you're going to need it on these icy roads. Make sure your ignition systems, filters, spark plugs, batteries are all mechanically sound. And if you can't do it, have an auto mechanic do it. Make sure your lights are in good working order. Headlights, taillights, blinkers. And if you do this, it might just be what you need to survive. Now, I know it sounds all trivial, but it's so important. I encourage you in this nice little hiatus we have from the winter freeze, get out there and prepare. But right now we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, we heard Elon Musk under the Kabuki Theater update and his statement that Twitter will not restore Alex Jones. And Alex Jones responded to Elon Musk, and I thought this was very well done, very professional. And I thought AJ actually took the higher road. Let's have a listen to Alex Jones's response to Elon Musk and his decision not to restore his account on Twitter.
This is criminal. Even Senator Josh Hawley yesterday brought this up to the head of DHS Mayorkas and said, you're helping run the censorship and you're surveilling the American people and telling big tech who to censor. So Elon Musk has the EU threatening him not to bring back Alex Jones and Donald Trump. He has DHS behind the scenes with a bunch of moles inside his organization. There's a question right now on whether Twitter will even be able to continue on to the future because all of the sabotage. So as I said in the last month with this buildup, I want to see Twitter freed overall first and to see if Musk can even get control of it before we talk about Donald Trump or Alex Jones being brought back. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. I've built InfoWars.com. I've built our syndicated radio show and TV show that reaches tens of millions a day. You've built it with your word of mouth. And we're not going to sit there and hope that Elon Musk can free Twitter. We've got Rumble. We've got Gab. We've got Getter. We've got Telegram. We've got so many other great platforms that we're going to continue to energize those and promote those and get those out to the world. Just because there's tyranny at Twitter and tyranny at Facebook and tyranny at Google and tyranny at Apple doesn't mean we can't build our own system. That's the reason Joe Rogan went to Spotify when YouTube, owned by Google, was trying to censor him a few years ago. It's not that Spotify's perfect, but they told Joe, we won't censor you, and now they're number one in podcasting, showing that free speech is what people want, and that's what is innovating, and that's what is successful. So at the end of the day, I'm betting on humanity. I'm betting on free speech. I'm betting on the Renaissance. I'm betting on you and America being the leaders again of free speech worldwide. I understand why Musk did this. He's got the ADL and the Democratic Party on him. He's got the EU on him, trying to shut him down right now. So don't put all your eggs in Elon Musk's basket, but support him trying to free up Twitter. And don't blame Musk at the end of the day because he didn't bring me back. I'm the most controversial figure in the world because I'm the most threatening to the New World Order. So don't expect him to bring me back day one when he has to first get control of the platform before he can even think about that. But again, not going to think about Musk. Not going to put my eggs in his basket. I'm going to continue to build the real free open platform of the people at InfoWars.com and Band.Video. So that's my exclusive response to Elon Musk saying no to bringing back Alex Jones. My answer is that's fine, Elon. Just follow through on your promise to bring back some semblance of freedom to Twitter. Let's see if you can actually get that done.
Bravo, Alex Jones. Now, that's a professional response from Alex Jones, a classy response, in fact. Now, I wasn't so forgiving when I heard that Alex was not going to be replatformed, and Musk responded no, and then we got into that whole suffer the children scripture. But I'm telling you, what Alex Jones did there was right. Now, let's see what Elon does. Now, remember what I said about good old Elon a few weeks ago. I think he's deep state, controlled opposition. Remember, he openly admitted that he's against free speech and he's for shadow banning and censorship. And I quote Elon himself here. New Twitter policy is freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Negative hate tweets will be max deboosted and demonetized, so no ads or other revenue to Twitter. You won't find the tweet unless you specifically seek it out, which is no different from the rest of the internet. Those are Elon Musk's words, not mine. Now, max deboosted is simply fancy talk for censorship, folks. No different from rest of the internet is fancy talk for censorship. Now, AJ, on the other hand, is as sharp as a tack. Now, I've known about him and have followed him since his start in the 90s, folks, back when I was doing research for William Cooper. And the reason he's fined a gazillion dollars for the Sandy Hook thing is because he's been exposing New World plans for decades, and now they're out for revenge. AJ knows history while most people don't. He has read the globalist documentation while most haven't, and he's being persecuted financially while most people aren't. Now, I try to listen to him as often as I can. He has excellent educated credentials, guests on that show. Alex Jones is not a lunatic, folks. I respect this man. He's a leader, an informer, telling the truth as best as he can. Now, with certain exceptions, and one of them is the two words that Dave Chappelle told us should never be entered together. And that's the Jews. Alex Jones will shut that topic down as fast as you can say the Jews. So I do recommend everyone to go and check out InfoWars and listen to Alex Jones, but just remember that he has his limits too, and his limit is at the topic of the Jews. So you can call him Information Central, but just understand that he also has a few forbidden things that he won't talk about. Now we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life Mimics Theater
but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Talk about absurd. Did you hear what the angry Greta Thunberg is doing right now in her home country of Sweden? She's suing her country for its lackluster climate change policies. So legal action has been taken against the Swedish government by a group of children and young adults led by none other than the conspiracy theorist Greta Thunberg herself for failing to take appropriate steps to combat, and I quote, climate change. On Friday, hundreds of activists, all led by Greta Thunberg, marched into the Swedish capital and sued their government for allegedly not doing enough to address climate change. This is being reported by NBC. They filed an 87-page document with the Stockholm District Court, signed by over 600 people under the age of 26 who were listed as plaintiffs in the lawsuit. And the group argues that the Swedish government's climate change policies violate its constitution as well as the European Convention on Human Rights. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks. You cannot make it up. The Swedish state has never treated the climate crisis as a crisis it is. Well, it isn't a crisis, folks, and most people can see that. So this report is then also, or I should say this lawsuit is also reported on by Bloomberg. In 2017, Swedish adopted a climate law that requires the government to work to reduce emissions of the planet warming gases. Folks, CO2 isn't even a climate warming gas in any order of magnitude relative to water vapor. Yet you can't do water vapor because it's natural and CO2 is being generated by man. But we're at like 400 ppm. Oh, I don't even know how to get into this. This is so crazy, folks. This lawsuit is total absurdity. Let's critically think here for a minute. Now, Greta can't do that. It's fairly evident that as a child, she's not actually capable of thinking critically. Well, she's not even a child anymore. She's of legal age. She's 19. She's being used or manipulated by the global cabal and can't really comprehend the message she's being made to amplify. Some people said she has autism or Asperger's or something like that. But whatever it is, she's a pawn. Now, she believes the narrative only because she's being so strongly encouraged and manipulated to believe it. You know, before her advocacy for climate change, she was probably just some ignored, ridiculed, poor little girl with attention deficit disorder or autism. It's sad, folks. This is child exploitation, and it's disgusting. Like I said, let's critically think for a minute. Now, after the last ice age, about 10,000 years ago, we saw the ocean rise 400 feet. That's about a half an inch per year. So in the past 100 years, where we have some good photographic evidence, we should have seen the water levels around the world rise 50 feet in sea level. If we, in fact, still have some sort of oceanic impact based on global warming. But guess what? Sea levels haven't risen. So if climate change is, in fact, an issue, and there is, in fact, global warming, then the sea levels should have risen, but they haven't. They should have risen 50 feet, but they haven't. So what's this all about, folks? I said 50 feet, I meant 50 inches, so a little over 4 feet. But why? Why isn't this happening? Because CO2 has about a third order impact on global warming behind sunspot activity and solar activity and volcanoes and water vapor. Maybe we'll do more on this next week. We do have to keep moving, and right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Hello,
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, when I was thinking about what to talk about for this Ken's Corner segment, I thought about the holiday seasons and the fact that we get together with our families and friends, and you know, you always have everybody from every political spectrum gathered together for well wishes and cheer. And these holidays should be about friends and family. And for many of us, it's also about faith and being humbled by all the blessings that life, through the power and agency of God, has given us. So I was thinking about this, and I was putting together a list of some things that we should probably talk about but not argue over. And then J.D. Rucker comes out with another article that basically parallels everything I was talking about. So we have these opportunities to talk. And people are starting to see now that things are trending in the polls, and people are opposed to so many things that are happening in Washington now. And there's pushback, rumors, oil prices, woke, if you want to call it that, the LGBTQ agenda. Polls are showing that a lot of people are starting to suspect these elections too, on both sides of the political spectrum. So we have an opportunity during the holiday season to talk about things. Now, these are the five topics that I was thinking about right for red pilling, and I mean planting seeds. I don't mean arguing people to agree. Because a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So what's really amazing here, these are the same topics, the same five topics that J.D. Rucker covered in one of his shows this week. First one is this climate change cult. And that's what it is. It's a cult, folks. And if you get boned up on the facts on this, you can share the facts. Just share the facts, like I just did about sea level rise. If we were trending as we have since the end of the last ice age, we should have seen about a 50-inch rise in water levels around the globe, or I should say the world, but we don't. Another one is the growing authoritarianism to deny that we're losing a lot of our constitutional rights. I mean, Colorado residents right now who have those smart meters were prevented from turning on their air conditioners earlier this year. Do you remember that? That's authoritarianism. Or how about the state of the economy under the Biden regime? You see what food's costing now? How about gasoline? And now that the midterms are over, there's talk that we're going to see gas prices skyrocket. And don't even get me started again on this stolen election. We covered that ad nauseum. And finally, which we also covered in great detail, and I was doing all that earlier in the show to talk about this, the safe and effective vaccines. In fact, you could just share certain clips out of this podcast with your friends and family. So I hope you're getting the idea here. Truth is so powerful. And we need to apply it. But do it with love, folks. We need as much positive energy as possible in America right now. And I don't want you to go out there and start arguing with people, especially at family gatherings. On the other hand, it's a great time, these little nuggets of truth. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Back to the Future. In this segment, folks, we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So let's wind the clock back to 1956. That was the first year that Dr. Joop Mirlo's book, The Rape of the Mind, was published. Now, I've talked about this in past shows, folks, but today I want to cover it from a slightly different perspective. You know, back in 1933, Dr. Mirlo began to study the methods by which Systematic mental pressure brings people into abject submission. It's the method by which totalitarians imprint their subjective truth on their victims' minds. And in his classic book, The Rape of the Mind, he goes far beyond the direct military implications of mental torture to describe how our own culture unobtrusively shows symptoms of pressurizing people's minds. And when you do that, people submit in compliance. It's a very systematic analysis of the methods of brainwashing and mental torture and coercion. And he shows how totalitarians in general use this strategy of mass psychology, and we've talked about it as mass formation psychosis, to lead to systematized rape of the mind. Now, this is all really good, and when you read this, you would swear he wrote this for a time like this. He describes the new age of Cold War and its mental terror, verbocracy, semantic fog. These are all things being used right now by the fake news. The use of fear as a tool of mass submission. The problem of treason and loyalty. This book is so loaded with so much dynamite, so much truth. It warns us about the dangers, confusion. Now, this was written for laymen and professional alike, and it has four parts. In part one, it talks about the techniques of individual submission. And this is the part I want to focus on today. In this part, it talks about how Soviet government, the Nazi government, would label you mentally ill if you didn't go along to get along. And that's essentially what's in the news today. Now, the rest of it, part two, three, and four, talk about, respectively, the techniques of mass submission. Part three, the unobtrusive coercion. And part four, in search of defenses or how we can fight against this. But what I want to focus on today is part one. Now, what the Soviets would do, if you were a protester or you spoke out against the Bolshevik policies, what they would do is they would label you mentally unsound, get you convicted of mental insanity, and then they'd incarcerate you and control you. Now, you may say, oh, they'd never do that today, bro, Ken. Oh, really? Well, this next clip I want to play is of a Canadian doctor who's warning his listeners. Let me call this up here. Canadian doctor. And it's not coming up. One more time. Let's try this. Canadian. There it is. Canadian doctor. Okay, so this is a Canadian doctor's College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario call reporting that the college is going to refer to the doctors who don't advocate for jabs as mentally ill, and they should be giving their people and themselves psych meds. So let's have a listen to this clip. It's only 48 seconds long.
So this has come out recently out of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. The college sent out a letter or a memo to all the doctors in Ontario suggesting to them, now so far they're not mandating it, they're just suggesting it, that any of their unvaccinated patients, that they should consider that they have a mental problem and that they should be put on psychiatric medication. So far, it's just a suggestion, but the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario should not be making these kinds of suggestions. This is extremely unethical, and this is a very, very slippery slope. If they're suggesting that people who wish to have bodily autonomy and don't want an experimental vaccine, that there may be something mentally wrong with them, that is a very, very dangerous slippery slope that we're on.
He is right with one thing there, folks. Labeling a contrarian view mental illness is what the Soviets did, and we're seeing it happen again. Like I said, this is Soviet-style methodology to deal with nonconformists by labeling them mentally ill and requiring management and control through meds. And it's no surprise this is coming out of Canada, of all places. We know what it's becoming. It's becoming a Marxist totalitarian state. And this is all outlined in Mirlo's book. So, folks, you know, these times are evil. And we've talked about this. And my pastor has been on fire lately. So this is another synopsis of what he shared last week. And we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And the truth is, it's a very practical book in addition to having theological dynamite in it. And in it, St. Paul teaches us how to withstand the crushing weight of all the trials and tribulations that we face living in this evil, evil world. When he was in high school, he got into this one program. It was for the advanced placement students. And it was to build a balsa bridge and see how much load it could bear. They even went down to some engineering firms in Pittsburgh and got consulting from some of the structural engineers down there. And then their job was to build the strongest balsa wood bridge. Now, if you know anything about balsa wood, it's very weak, kind of like we are. But if it's put together and fit jointly, it can bear a lot more weight than it actually weighs. So that was the program they did. And then they'd continue to put weight on it until the bridge collapsed. And what a great metaphor that is in terms of our life and the stress ills of this world and the evils of this world can put upon us and the strain it can put on our hope and our love and our joy and even our faith. So has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had your hope, your love, your joy, and even your faith crushed by the pressures of this world, by the wickedness of this world? Well, if so, despair not, because God is faithful. And Jesus warned us. He said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief, that's the devil, cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, Satan hates both God and us, but he can't do anything to God because God is invincible. So what he does is he attacks those whom God loves, and that's you and me. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Point number one, and I only have 2 points here. And thank you, Pastor Todd, for this. As Christians, we ought to be strong in the Lord. You know, the only strength we truly have is his. And if we try to do this on our own, if we try to stand up against the evil and wickedness of this world, we're going to fail. We can't, but he can. It's by his might. It's through his joy that we're made strong. You know, we may be apparently victorious, but behind us is none other than Jesus Christ. He's the victor. We're just along for the ride. So even if we think we're captains of our lives, we're actually being strengthened and driven by the grace and power of God. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So praise the Lord, folks. Be enabled. And to be able to stand and fear not, we need to believe that God is above all and all powerful. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. So if we're going to be equipped to stand against the wiles, which means the scheming of the devil, it's only through him. You know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So who is this Satan? This devil who plots and schemes against us all the time. Well, a lot of people think he's God's opposite and equivalent, and he's not. It's not yin and yang. You know, it's not light and dark. There's that one meme out there that shows Jesus and the devil arm wrestling. Wrong. It's no match. The test here isn't who's stronger, God or the devil. That's a no-brainer. God would win. The test here is one concerning faithfulness. Are you going to be true to his word? Are you going to remain faithful? Are you going to submit and trust? Are you going to forsake all and trust him? It's all about free will, folks. So Satan's not God's opposite and equivalent, but he does have some potent weapons in his arsenal. Isaiah calls him the destroyer of nations, and we mentioned that a bit earlier. And the book of Revelations refers to him as the great dragon, the ancient serpent. You know, in John chapter 12, verse 31, it says, "For now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." These were red-letter words, folks, said by none other than Jesus. And the Bible's very clear. The evil is focused on a person, and it's all gravitating towards this person known as Satan, the fallen angel Lucifer. Now, he has one plan and two schemes. His one plan is to keep us from God, and he does that two ways, one by distraction and the other by doubt. So what are the things that distract you? What are the things that come between you and knowing God? Well, you know, Paul tells us in his second letter to the Corinthians that we should take all those things that come between us and knowing God and bind them and cast them out of our mind. And then we learn from Genesis chapter 2, you know, and into chapter 3, that the devil beguiled Eve by casting doubt. Now, there was a Puritan pastor named William Grinnell, and he referred to Satan as the bully and the beguiler who defrauds by force and fraud. And here's how it's done, folks. The devil tries to get us to stop obeying the great commandment of loving God and others. And think about what happens when you stop loving God and others. You start to sour. An acid starts to build in your vessel. And what does an acid do to a vessel? It eats it from the inside out. And then the devil tries to get you to stop obeying the Great Commission. Stop sharing the gospel. Stop sharing the good news. And you know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart grow weary. And then Satan also tries to rob us of our confidence in Christ. And that's one of his best methods. And then he goes on to rob us of three of the greatest things that this world has ever seen. Both faith, hope, and love. And then he goes on to rob us of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we've covered the fruits of the Spirit on here, and just go into my page on BTR and you can look up the fruits of the Spirit. And I did one show on each of the fruits. And that's why we need God's full armor. Because if we're going to stand up against the wiles of the devil, we're only going to do it when we're spiritually equipped. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So flesh and blood isn't the ultimate enemy, folks. The real enemy is something else. And Paul calls them principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And there is a hierarchy of demonic forces. And you can go through these things, principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And you can see it's almost structured like a military order. You have your supreme allied commander. That would be Satan, the fallen angel Lucifer. You have his cadre of generals, Beelzebub, Moloch, Aphrodite, Bacchus, so many of them. Principalities, like Daniel was told by the angel, the archangel Michael, "Well, the prince of Persia battled me for 21 days before I was able to come to you with the answer from God." So you have this hierarchy of demonic forces, and that's my point. Now, this is all very complicated, but it doesn't have to be. All we need to know is that Satan is against us, and he has his minion, his fallen angels, to help him effect this plan. I should say his single plan with a two-part scheme. Keep us from God by distraction and doubt. Now, Satan has hated God and his creation from the very beginning of the world. But God tells us the good news in Genesis. in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after Satan effectively, as the serpent, beguiled Eve and got Eve and Adam to sin, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to the serpent. And between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. Now, this conflict is carried all through Bible history, from Pharaoh to Herod, all the way up to today with this entire abortion issue. The devil hates God's children. And he's going to do everything he can to hurt God by hurting us. And this is all part of his demonic plan to pull us away from God by distracting us and causing us to doubt. But praise the Lord. God has a better plan than Satan's demonic plan. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, next week, provided the Lord's willing, what I'd like to do is cover this full armor of God. And we've done shows on that too. But I'd like to do it from my pastor's perspective, because he has a very sharp mind and a very good way of pulling this all together. Are able to withstand in the evil day. How? By putting on or taking on the whole armor of God. Now, what is this evil day? Well, this is the worst day of your life. But if you have the armor of God, you'll be able to stand and withstand. Now, this evil day isn't the last day, because we have his armor. So although we may be in a battle, fear not, folks. Because we are strengthened by God. In other words, there's always a way to do it his way. And what is his way? Well, his way isn't anger. His way is love. His way isn't revenge. It's turning another cheek. It's knowing that the victory has already been had through Jesus Christ and the work at the cross. Praise the Lord. So we could get into all of his ways, which aren't our ways. But just remember this last thing. It really reminds me of how we wrap up every show every week. But in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6, St. Paul wrote, stand therefore, having girded your loins about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, there's a book out by Watchman Nee. It's been out for probably 75 years or more. Sit, walk, and stand. And I encourage you to read that. Maybe I'll cover that in Ken's Corner next week. In fact, I'm taking a note, Ken's Corner. Anyways, folks, I love you all, and I encourage you to stand there for having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? And in the words of Winston Churchill, folks, never give in.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, we can do that, because that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, lives in you and me. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp. Praise the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior, while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that
cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.